Michael Gibbons, Chief Judge, Nevada Court of Appeals. I'm located in Carson City, Nevada. I'm joined today by Judge Jerry Tao and Judge Bonnie Bulla, who are both in the Las Vegas courtroom. We're happy to be here with everyone and having this argument. This is case number 77112, COA. Leon Dudley Williams III as trustee and against the Clear Recon Domestic Corporation and other defendants and respondents. I want to welcome counsel for both sides in this case. I can see both of you clearly now. Ms. Dickinson?
Pardon, Your Honor. I think that you might have recalled the wrong case number.
Sorry, I put the next case on top by mistake. What am I talking about that case for? Sorry. We'll start over. Thank you for correcting me. This is case number 7002 COA. Dushan Nicholas Green versus Terry Lindberg and other respondents. So we have the Attorney General's office on the last case and again today. But you guys decided to switch who's going to argue which case. So, Ms. Dickinson, I got that right.
Yes, you did, Your Honor.
And Mr. Tadre, too. Thank you, and we're happy to see you again. I know you've been here on a number of occasions. So, Judge Tao and Judge Bulla, would you like to make any welcoming comments?
Well, we're very pleased that you're joining us today by video conferencing. We, of course, wish you could be here in person, but we hope that this will be a good alternative. Please let us know if you have any concerns or there are any technical problems that we can assist in in resolving on our end. Otherwise, again, thank you for being here.
Yeah, I just want to echo that. Thank you for your flexibility. I know that you guys, throughout the life of this appeal, received various notices from us, changing the dates, moving things around. We're trying to figure out, you know, what to do with, you know, everything that's going on. But we thank you for your flexibility. And also, Ms. Dickinson, I believe you're appearing on this case in a pro bono capacity, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
We wanted to thank you for that. There's, you know, one of the issues that the court system has is there are more cases and there are attorneys willing to accept them, and we're always happy to see someone of your quality, and especially I know Littler Mendelson normally does employment law, so this may be a little bit out of your normal practice, but we're really excited that you would take a case like this, especially an inmate case. I made a comment earlier this morning on another inmate case that for certain segments of the bar who are willing to take pro bono cases, you know, inmate cases are not necessarily the most appealing, but we're really excited that you were willing to take this one and are looking forward to this.
All right, we're ready to proceed then. Ms. Dickinson, would you like to save any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. All right. We are generally asking fewer questions, letting counsel proceed due to the technology that we're using versus the in-person argument. That doesn't mean you won't be asked questions or we're not interested in what you're saying. It's the opposite. We just want to make sure you have every chance to present your argument and we avoid any technical issues.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
May it please the court. My name is Diana Dickinson, and I represent Dushan Green. This case is about prison officials taking Mr. Green's medically prescribed shoes and refusing to give them back to him. To some people who own multiple pairs of shoes, this may not seem like a big case. But to Mr. Green, a 54-year-old inmate, it's everything. Mr. Green has been trying to get properly fitted shoes for more than a decade. He needs a size 9.5 triple E to accommodate his diabetes, high arch, and wide feet. In 2008, when Mr. Green began experiencing excruciating pain from the standard shoes issued by the prison, he was evaluated by a doctor who ordered that Mr. Green should be given a wider pair of shoes if they were available. Mr. Green was later told that shoes were not a medical issue, and that medical no longer ordered shoes for inmates. Because neither medical nor laundry could provide Mr. Green with the proper shoes, In 2010, he requested permission to use his own money to purchase shoes from an outside vendor. As a result of the grievance process, Mr. Green was allowed to use his own money to buy shoes that fit properly. For several years, he had no issues receiving shoes from outside vendors. Mr. Green thought he had solved the problem of getting properly fitted shoes while in prison. But in 2017, he had yet another obstacle when prison officials refused to give Mr. Green the shoes that were sent to him from an outside vendor. Mr. Green went through the grievance process and then initiated this lawsuit. We are here today because the district court incorrectly held that Mr. Green had not exhausted his remedies before filing his complaint. The district court's analysis is flawed for two reasons. First, the failure to exhaust is an affirmative defense that defendants must raise and prove. Here, defendants have failed to meet that burden. Defendants concede that Mr. Green's grievance history report was incomplete and does not contain all the grievances submitted by Mr. Green on the issue of his shoes. Administrative Regulation 740.01, subsection 5, mandates that the grievance coordinator should record receipts, transmittals, actions, and responses on all grievances within 3 working days of receipt. That did not happen in this case. Mr. Green submitted an informal grievance after receiving an unauthorized property notification. But not only did the prison fail to record this grievance, it also failed to record its own response. The prison also failed to maintain a copy of this informal grievance and a copy of its response. As a result, this grievance was not included in the grievance history report. Moreover, the record reflects that Warden Baker addressed the issue of Mr. Green's shoes on the merits, satisfying the first level grievance. Warden Baker is a named defendant in the case, and defendants do not dispute that the warden denied Mr. Green his shoes after he sent her a kite requesting that the shoes be given to him. Prison officials cannot argue that Mr. Green failed to exhaust his administrative remedies by simply neglecting to retain copies of the forms submitted to them or by failing to include grievances in the grievance history report. Similarly, prison officials cannot rely on a plaintiff's lack of evidence to support a motion for summary judgment to the issue of exhaustion. Because there's a disputed issue of material fact in this case, the district court erred in granting summary judgment on Mr. Green's Section 1983 claims. The second reason that the district court's analysis is flawed is based on the policy reasons behind the exhaustion requirement of the Prison Litigation Reform Act. One of the purposes of the exhaustion requirement is to improve the quality of prisoner suits by the creation of an administrative record that is helpful to the court. When a grievance is filed shortly after the events giving rise to the grievance, witnesses can be identified and questioned while memories are still fresh, and evidence can be gathered and preserved. The benefits of exhaustion can be realized when the prison grievance system is both given the opportunity to consider the grievance and then properly documents its response. This was not observed here. This case demonstrates that grievances can be lost in the prison administration system. Encouraging prison officials to maintain an accurate and complete grievance report effectuates this purpose of the exhaustion requirement. Therefore, when prison officials fail to retain records relating to the filing or processing of an inmate's grievance, prison officials cannot meet their burden of establishing the failure to exhaust. And that's exactly what happened here. They failed to retain the records, and they did not meet their burden of establishing that Mr. Green failed to exhaust his remedies before filing his complaint. For those reasons, the district court erred, and this court should reverse the district court on the issue of exhaustion as to Mr. Green's Section 1983 claims. And those claims should be remanded for the district court to hear them on the merits.
So whether or not the prison maintained its records, in a general sense, don't we have a copy of the grievance in this case because the because your client attached it to his own complaint? I mean, isn't it right there?
We do have one of the copies of the grievance and the rejection of the informal grievance. But those were not included in the grievance history report that was relied upon by the defendant in moving for summary judgment.
Well, I understand that, but whether or not the defendant submitted it, if we have it, can't we evaluate on our own whether or not summary judgment was, whether or not the exhaustion question has been answered?
Yeah, the court can evaluate the grievance on its own. One of the arguments defendant appears to be making is that Mr. Green did not satisfy all levels of the exhaustion process, and the record is incomplete as to the other steps. Mr. Green does reference that Warren Baker denied his request to return his shoes, which satisfies the first level, but the record is incomplete as to the second level grievance. And that's part of the issue, is the defendants can't establish that Mr. Green did not complete the second level grievance in order to fully exhaust his claim.
Ms. Dickinson, for what period of time did Mr. Green receive his special shoes before the events occurred where they were no longer going to provide them to him?
It was in 2010 that Mr. Green first requested to use his own money to purchase his shoes. And then he states he had, for several years, he had no issues receiving shoes. The record's not entirely clear as to that time period.
Do we know what change occurred internally so that he was no longer able to receive the shoes?
We do not. The record does not establish the reason why Mr. Green has not been able to receive his shoes. And defendants have not offered any justification as to that point.
Thank you.
Is that still the situation, do you know, Ms. Dickinson, about the shoes? Because, I mean, this case has gone on for a long time. There's a difference between the ability to proceed on this lawsuit versus actually getting the shoes.
The record's not clear on that point. The prison officials have not provided any indication as to what happened to the shoes, except that we know that they were not given to Mr. Green.
So once Mr. Green was hit with this motion for summary judgment and it's realized that there's a potential problem, did he go through the grievance process any further?
The record doesn't indicate that. The administrative regulations do prohibit Mr. Green from filing a second grievance as to an issue that he's already grieved. So my understanding is he wouldn't be able to continue filing the same grievance on the multiple grievances on the same issue.
So my understanding of the prison's position in this case is that he filed his initial level one grievance, but it was dismissed because he failed to include the required supporting documentation. Did he make an attempt to refile it with the documentation that the prison required?
The records, Mr. Green has always maintained that he has exhausted his remedy. However, we don't have any documentation in the record as to whether he... the next steps he did in grieving his complaint.
Well, I know he's saying that, but exhaustion is a legal conclusion. You know, to defeat summary judgment, why didn't he just create an affidavit and say, on such and such date, I did this, and such and such date, I did this, rather than just saying, well, I just, because arguing at that high level generality is a legal conclusion. So I'm asking you, given the record that we have, is there a factual dispute that he tried to refile this grievance after it was denied as being incomplete?
There is a factual dispute. Mr. Green was representing himself before the district court, so he didn't have the benefit of legal counsel. However, because this burden is on defendants to establish that Mr. Green didn't exhaust his remedies. It's not Mr. Green's burden to establish that he, in fact, did. So when he did put forth evidence that demonstrated the record relied upon by defendants was incomplete, that was enough to establish there is an issue of material fact, and summary judgment should not have been granted in favor of defendants.
All right, Ms. Dickinson, then you'll have close to 4 minutes for a rebuttal. Anything else, or do you want to just save that time?
I'll save the remainder of my time.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. All right, Mr. Padre, representing the respondents.
Hi. Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Frank Tiger II, Senior Deputy Attorney General for the State of Nevada, representing the NDOC employees in this matter. Today, we would submit that the proper outcome of this case would be to affirm the below judgment in favor of the NDOC. The standard of review today is de novo. I'd also like to take time to thank Ms. Dickinson for making the appearance in this case pro bono. While it arguably makes the defense harder, it helps the court to develop jurisprudence in a complicated and oft-overlooked area of the law. Now, respectfully, though, arguing that Mr. Green's toils in obtaining the shoes, the medical harms, is putting the proverbial cart before the horse. Due to Green's failure and, indeed, abandonment of exhausting the problem, the jurisdiction has never been established. The inmate grievance procedure, set forth in AR 740, is the primary mechanism to remedy a prisoner's complaint. Also, for the PLRA, it's a necessary jurisdictional requirement prior to filing suit. There is also Nevada statutes advising of the same requirement. Thus, if we distill this case to its essence, the court is here to consider two queries from the district court judgment. First, did Mr. Green properly grieve the matters in 2017 regarding the alleged improper confiscation of shoes prior to filing this lawsuit? If he did not, was the process effectively available, and were the district court findings plausible based on the record provided? And here, I would submit that the evidence strongly suggests the district court's factual findings, namely the presence of an available administrative remedy that Green failed to exhaust. More specifically, Green abandoned the process at the informal level after having a grievance returned for failure to provide supporting documents. This supporting document requirement is set forth in the governing administrative regulation attached as Exhibit A to the motion for summary judgment below. Now, we can all agree that the PLRA is a voluminous statute. When Congress enacted it in 1996 to slow the cascade of prisoner civil rights lawsuits, the centerpiece, and perhaps the most frequently litigated aspect of it, is the mandatory requirement that a prisoner exhaust the remedies prior to filing suit. Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit, Nevada courts have repeatedly emphasized this exhaustion requirement is mandatory, firm, and most recently, essential in Ross v. Blake. And that's our necessary and central query here. Did Green grieve the claim?
Mr. Tawdry, I'm going to ask you a question which is, I freely acknowledge is a little bit outside the record. But what's going on with these shoes? I mean, your time costs the state money. Ms. Dickinson's time is costing people money. You know, we're all in this case. What's the big deal with these shoes? Why does the prison not want him to have these shoes?
Well, I would set forth that, well, there's nothing on the record that developed that issue because this was almost entirely decided wholly on the exhaustion issue. However, if we at least look at the attachments, the voluminous attachments that Green put forth, it appears that one of the property sergeants found this specific shoe that he ordered to be unauthorized as from a manufacturer, Adidas, that was not on the canteen list. I don't know what the inventory history was, but that appears to be what raised the ire, if you will, of that property sergeant.
Okay, so I'm looking at the unauthorized property notification. So the issue here is maybe his earlier shoes from a different vendor, but this is from a vendor that wasn't on the list. Is that kind of what's going on here?
Yes, Your Honor. It was a very specific agreement made by DD Molenkamp, Deputy Director Molenkamp, in 2010 that permitted him to have, permitted Mr. Green to just have a larger shoebox or toe box in his, the shoes that he orders. And it, I believe based upon just the plain reading of that notification form, it was the brand that caused Officer Lindbergh to take notice.
So what efforts, Mr. Todrow, were made by the prison system to perhaps find different shoes for Mr. Green that would comply? I think one of the things that concerns, is of concern is that Mr. Green went through the prison system grievance procedure in about 2010 to be able to order these special shoes, and it seems like for several years that worked okay. He was able to get his special shoes, and then perhaps there was either a change in policy, which again I understand may not be within the record, but something happens and the current shoes were not given to him. Were there any alternatives that were considered to address the problem?
Well, and that is one of the primary purposes of this grievance system, is to put the prison on notice of the problem. Use prison solutions for prison problems. And here we did not get there in any recognizable sense because Mr. Green abandoned the grievance process. He was told directly by Associate Warden Tara Carpenter in the informal grievance response to please attach your supporting documentation. He did not. If Mr. Green had, in fact, put that supporting documentation there, then he would have received a response to that informal level. Then they may have started the process. However, he did not. And in his opposition, he states he did not believe that he had to grieve the problem because he had done so in 2010. And that's the issue here, is that there's no notice to try to resolve this matter in 2017 because he did not comply with said grievance procedure. Further, in his complaint, he also admits that he did not grieve it as well, that he thought because this was a notice from 2010, it's unnecessary. And 2010 is a complete distinct occurrence than what happened in 2017. That grievance in 2010, whatever resolution they made for, does not last ad infinitum to have an entirely new confiscation in 2017.
So he would not have been precluded in 2017 from bringing a separate grievance, even though in 2010 he went through the grievance procedure basically on the same issue, which is being able to order specialized shoes.
Well, I would submit, first it doesn't preclude it, but second I would submit that the alleged unauthorized taking is an entirely different issue of just being authorized to purchase. So while the shoes are the central theme, the underlying problem sounds in different theories. The 2010 degree sounds in deliberate indifference maybe, but this 2017 is now a property problem. And the administrative regulations do also require exhaustion for property issues as well.
Mr. Todrey?
Thank you.
And so,
Mr. Todrey, was the issue of failure to exhaust raised as an affirmative defense? And if it was not in the pleading, is that fatal?
Yes, Your Honor, it was raised in the answer as one of the affirmative defenses. This was not an early motion for summary judgment. While it doesn't appear that there's much discovery in the matter, that there was an answer, pretrial order, a discovery period was permitted, and then the state filed their motion for summary judgment. So it was put forth originally in the answer as an affirmative defense and then set forth an attempt to prove in the motion for summary judgment.
Okay. All right, related to that, what about the grievance coordinator not gathering certain information or coordinating the putting this package together so that all the information would be known?
Thank you for that, Your Honor. And that is an important point that wasn't necessarily developed below, but the inmate grievance report that was attached by, that was attached to the summary judgment is a record of all the grievances that have been processed and filed. It's generated through NOTUS, the Nevada Inmate Tracking System, for each prisoner. Now, the reason this was not processed, I mean, the reason this is not in NOTUS is because it was never processed. And it is a distinction with a difference. The NDOC never provided a response on the merits because Mr. Green never corrected his document. And in the reply brief, counsel actually pointed out an instance where Mr. Green had a grievance rejected. That's going to be on page 7 of the reply. Had a grievance rejected, and the NDOC logged the grievance being returned and having been corrected. However, that happened in 2012, and that is a different occurrence. That's at V2-173 of the record. The difference there is that Green corrected his grievance twice in 2012, and therefore it was filed, it was processed. That 2012 grievance went through to the second level. So the NDOC responded at informal level, first level, and second. Here, in our case, the NDOC never made a response on the merits. So therefore, it was never entered. The grievance history is a summary of the inmate complaint and the NDOC response. Because there was never a response, it's never entered into the computer system. It's merely stored into their inmate file, which is essentially legal boxes that are medical files, site files, what have you. So that is not what was a full copy of his entire inmate file is not provided to the record, just the grievance history report, which is the entered and decided upon grievances.
Mr. Todra, Mr. Green is not able to go back, though, and address the grievance. Is that correct?
He would have been able to if he would have corrected it. Also, with as quickly as this was adjudicated, I believe that he would have had time to correct it.
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, sir. Currently, he's not able to go back and file a new grievance. Is that right?
Probably not, Your Honor. And there's some tolling that has to do for when he's pursuing the grievance. However, by now there's a general internal statute of limitations for grieving within 6 months of the perceived wrong, and then that's certainly passed by now.
Well, I mean, then tomorrow can you file a whole new grievance saying that, okay, notwithstanding the fact that the statute's expired on the fact on the incident when the sergeant took my shoes back in 2017, I want to file a grievance now because I still need the shoes. Can you do that?
Yes.
Or maybe not those shoes, but I still need shoes like this from a different vendor.
Oh, absolutely. He can make a medical request. He can file a grievance. This is purely associated with the unauthorized taking, his alleged unauthorized taking in 2017. This in no way precludes him from getting further medical accommodations. This does not preclude him from trying to work out a new arrangement with whoever the current administration is. He's only precluded now from making a property claim, an unauthorized taking claim against this sergeant. That is the only way that Mr. Green is prejudiced in this case. I would like to address an issue that might seem unresolved in the reply brief, and that is the alleged concession by Warden Baker of the merits of this complaint. This, I would respectfully submit, is a total red herring. The reply contended that defendants did not dispute that Warden Baker denied Green's request to receive shoes on the merits, page 5 of the reply brief. A kite is wholly separate from a grievance. A kite is an informal request form you generally use every day in prison, clerical, everyday functions, Can I see the doctor? Can I go to the law library? Can I see the dentist, etc.? Everyday functions. On the other hand, the grievance is the mechanism to alert the prison to a problem, constitutional, safety problem, property issue, what have you. It's much more akin to a legal document. This is the grievance puts the system on notice so they can respond to it accordingly. The pipe, there's never been a court, there's no case law setting forth that a pipe can satisfy the internal grievance procedure. Maybe it can create a question of fact in other issues, but a kite has nothing to do and is wholly separate from AR 740 and any grievance process. So whatever Baker's response, positive, negative, no response, it should have no bearing on whether Green abandoned this process or not. With that, I have about 5 seconds left, so I have no further new points to raise unless the panel has questions.
Mr. Tadre, really fast, were there any policy violations of the federal law that are determinative in this case?
Not that I am aware of, I would set forth probably not. The only policy raised is the AR-740, and that would be A.W. Carpenter's response to the informal grievance, and in that, she followed the procedure by telling him what he needed to submit to correct it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go back to the appellant, Mr. Green, through Ms. Dickinson, and you have 3 minutes and 40 seconds left.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd first like to address the issue of exhaustion. Exhaustion is not a jurisdictional requirement for bringing an action. It's an affirmative defense that defendants must plead and prove. The United States Supreme Court in Jones v. Block explained that inmates are not required to specifically or plead specifically or demonstrate exhaustion in their complaints. And now, this is a therefore defendant's burden, and they can't shift it to Mr. Green to try to produce the documents that he has regarding his grievance. The prison is in a much better position and with access to much better resources to be able to produce a grievance history report and maintain files. The fact that the informal grievance was lost is not Mr. Green's fault. This was in the hands of the prison, and it's their responsibility to establish that Mr. Green did not exhaust his administrative remedies. I'd like to address the issue of Warden Baker. Opposing counsel mentioned that this was a red herring, and whether or not Warden Baker addressed Mr. Green's concern in a kite has no bearing in this litigation. However, the Ninth Circuit has made clear that when prison officials address the merits of a prisoner's grievance instead of enforcing a procedural bar, in this case, if he submitted it in a kite rather than as the administrative regulations would have him submit it, the state's interests in administrative exhaustion have been served. If the prison officials deny Mr. Green's request to receive his shoes, they can't then later again attempt to block Mr. Green from proceeding in this litigation by arguing that he did not exhaust his remedies when the prison officials, Warden Baker, denied his request on the merits.
Well, but I think their argument is a kite is not a grievance. If he had done a formal grievance and been denied, we'd be talking about something different, but a kite is just a grievance. What a grievance is defined by regulation, and just because he sends an informal kite, which is, I don't even think the regulations cover a kite. A kite is just basically a letter saying, I want this, I want that. That doesn't transform it into a grievance, right?
Well, Warden Baker, I guess, could have responded and said, send this through the grievance system as the regulations detail. However, by rejecting Mr. Green's request on the merits, the prison officials' interest in exhaustion has already been served. They've been given the opportunity to address the issue, and by addressing it on the merits, he doesn't need to go back and file a formal grievance for him to get the same answer he already got. And on that issue, and that's just another reason why there are disputed issues of material fact in this case, and defendants don't dispute that Warden Baker decided this issue on the merits. Therefore, I request that this court reverse the district court's grant of summary judgment as to Mr. Green's Section 1983 claims and remand the action for consideration of these claims on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson, and thank you again, Mr. Tadre. Very good work by both of you. And then Ms. Dickinson, again, for taking this through the pro bono program. I hope it was a good experience for you. Certainly it was helpful to us, and we hope to see you again on another one of these cases, if not your own cases. This matter will be taken under submission for a written decision in the near future. We appreciate the accommodations going through this video presentation today rather than in-person oral argument. Did either counsel have any problems with the technology or any of the procedure we use to get us up to where we are right now?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor, the setup was simple and very easy to work with IT in the test run last week.
Oh, great. Well, that's very good to hear. Judge Tao, Judge Bulla, do you have any concluding comments?
Thank you both so much. You were both very well prepared, and I certainly can speak for myself that I enjoyed the oral argument. Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you again for taking this pro bono, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity in the future to see you both here arguing in person when this is all over, and hopefully that's sooner rather than later.
All right, we'll be in recess.